Amen.
Amen.
All right, our reading will be taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, starting at verse number 12. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, 'I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among the people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all times.'" Amen. Turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor. Go and put your Bible down. Grab your neighbor by both hands. They need your undivided attention. No kind of distractions. Grab them by both hands. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, "Neighbor,
are you willing?
Neighbor,
are you willing?
Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "Are You Willing?" Now, truth be told, a lot of us can talk it, but how many of us really gonna walk it? We have to recognize that as we look at this particular scripture. I got to give you the big back, the quick background on what is happening here. What is going on here is that, just to give you an understanding about what Chronicles are, First and Second Chronicles, is that basically it's a rehash of what took place in Kings. Okay, it was rewritten, and in some cases some information was added for clarity. But as we're seeing this, I want you to know that this particular scripture came into play right after Solomon had completed God's house, and after he completed his own, the king's house with the little king. Then what God does is this. God comes to speak to Solomon at the night. You know what's interesting about nighttime, y'all? Ain't a whole bunch of noise going on at it. Not a lot of hustle and bustle. Back then, they ain't had electricity. They was hoping it'd be a full moon. But if it wasn't, it was dark. And there was candles. There was torches. But at that time, when nighttime came, everything starts to slow down. Don't you know that there are times God speaks to you at night when things are quiet? Because if he spoke to you during the day, you wouldn't hear. Because there's too much stuff you're doing, too many things you're trying to be involved with. But when God comes to us at nighttime, there's a purpose for that. What God is doing here with Solomon, and we just read it. He told Solomon, he came to Solomon at night. And then he says, "I heard your prayer. And I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice." You see, back then, yes, they were killing animals and sacrificing the animals. But don't you know God's house is still a house of sacrifice? Don't you know when we come, we're making a sacrifice because of the fact that we recognize that we don't see it as a sacrifice. You know why? Because we already looked at what Jesus sacrificed for us. He created an opportunity for us to be able to come into the presence of the Father because of his sacrifice. So whenever we come to church, we don't see it from a sacrifice perspective. But I want you to know that, don't you know, didn't nobody make you be here? You're here because this is where you want to be. Because you understand what the Lord has done for you. You recognize how the Lord has blessed you. You understood how messed up your life was before you knew Jesus. And now that you have Jesus, there's nothing that's going to keep you away from going to God's house, because I recognize that I've been blessed in God's house, healed in God's house, delivered in God's house, saved in God's house, kept in my right mind in God's house. God made a way for me in his house. I tell you, my brothers and my sisters, I'm glad I got a house to go to. But as we see this, this is where the head scratching comes in. Because what he says in verse 13, when I shut up the heavens and stop the rain, when the locusts come and tear up all the crops, when there's an epidemic breaking out amongst the people, there's something I need for you to do. Do you see it? It's right here in Scripture now. He says, he starts off verse 14 with a word. He says that one little word, he said, if. Before he says anything else, he says, if. Don't you know that if has gotten a lot of folk in problems? Don't you know if has created some situations? I'll help you if. I'll pray for you if. Are you following me? If, you know how when you was a kid, what did they say about old man if? Old man if is dead and. But here, what God is saying is that we have to understand that if is never on God. The if is on us. And we entitled this sermon this morning, Are You? You see, what you have to understand is that he says that when it's a drought, when the crops have been devoured, when there is an epidemic in the land, he says some if my people who are called by my name. Oh, I got to stop right there. Don't you know we are God's people? Look around you. You're looking at other folk who are just like you, God's people. We've been blessed by God, healed by God, delivered by God, changed by God, able to do what we do all because of what God has done for us. And since the Lord has been mighty good to us, I understand that I'm one of God's children. I don't know about you, but I know I am. Do I got a witness in God's house? When you know what you know that you know, it ain't an arrogant statement. Because God could have left me kicked to the curb. But Jesus came. And by Jesus coming, it created an opportunity for you and I to receive God's grace and mercy. So therefore, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves. Oh, now, hold on now. Hold on, Lord. Hold on, hold on, hold on. What do you mean I got to humble myself? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you ain't all that. Neither am I. Can we just be real this morning? God doesn't need no more highfalutin folk. He wants some folk who are able to relate to other folk. He don't need someone up standing up like they are better than everybody else, feeling like they got the answer to everybody's problem. Can't nobody fix it like they can fix it. Nobody know more than what they know. Oh, Lord, bring me back, bring me back, bring me back. We have to understand and recognize, I don't care how knowledgeable you are of the word of God. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how you think you know the word and how the Lord is anointing you. Well, thank God that he's doing all that. But still, you ain't all that. So what God wants to know, Can you humble yourself? Will you humble yourself? You see, what we have to understand is before he gave them any other instructions, he told them, he said, if y'all are my people, the one thing, and you call by now my name, I want you to know the first thing you got to do is humble yourself. Not tell folk you're humble. You know, I'm just a humble servant for the Lord. Hey, how you doing? I'm just a humble servant for the Lord. How you doing? I'm just a humble servant for the Lord. I wonder how humble you really is. Because if you got to keep reminding me how humble you are you trying to convince you or are you trying to convince me? Because humility is not something that needs to be talked about. Humility is something that just needs to be done. You see, now if you're doing it, you ain't got to tell nobody what you're doing. You see, if you are who you are, that's what you're going to do. So what he is saying is that, are you willing to humble yourself? You see, that I think is the largest hurdle for many of us, especially for the African-American community, especially for those of us who have gotten educated, those of us who got good paying jobs, those of us who moved up out of the areas we grew up in. Some of us came up out with some folk, and I'm not being offensive, come out them backwoods, right? You know, some folk came out the projects. You follow what I'm saying? And now we don't live in those areas, but I just have to go to church in there because that's just where I'm from. So I have to worship there. For now, anyway. Are you working with me? We have to understand God is looking for some folk who are humble. You see, I understand corporate America, and because of your education and because of the prestige and the positions and the titles that you have on your job. You're telling folk you gonna respect me because I have this position. I'm a team leader. I'm a supervisor. I'm a VP. I'm an executive. I'm the dean of education. You follow what I'm saying? And because of what you've done, yes, you expect folk to treat you a certain way. But when you come in God's house, nobody walks higher than anybody else. Don't you know that all by the cross, it's all level ground. All of us are able to see folk eye to eye. I know some folk are shorter than you, but you understand what I'm saying. We can see everybody eye to eye. So since we can see everybody eye to eye, that what we're saying is that there is no big eyes and a bunch of, it's just a whole bunch of us who are not afraid to humble ourselves in God's presence, who aren't afraid to get on our knees and say, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. Lord, I know I've fallen short. I know all that you've done for me, Lord, and I still haven't done all that you're calling me to do. But Lord, I prostrate myself in your presence because I recognize, Lord, you want me to understand that I got to be subservient to you. No matter what I'm able to do, Lord, I couldn't do it unless you bless me. And I want you to understand the reason why so many bless me, so many prayers are left unheard or left unchanged is because we are not humble. If we don't start with humility, child, I can't get down there. These are silk stockings. Don't he know how much I paid for this suit? I don't take it to my suit to no cheap cleaners. I go to that expensive one. I can't be getting down here getting my knees all dirty. I pay about $15 to get these shoes signed. We have to understand, before we go any further, the key to anything that we do has to be done with humility. Sister Davis, even though you sing them songs, you got to sing them with humility. Yes. Reverend Rose, even when you preach them sermons, you still got to preach them sermons with humility. Because don't you know, whatever God is calling you to do, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to know, God says, are you going to be humble? Now, what does humility mean? Meaning and understanding that, you know what? If God hadn't blessed me, I wouldn't be able to even stand up right now. If he hadn't blessed me, I wouldn't be able to open my mouth right now. Lord knows if he ain't blessed me, I wouldn't be able to even be here right now. So when you understand that everything that you have is because God has blessed you, That in itself ought to humble the people of God, because we come to realize if it had not been for the Lord, where would I? Humbling. Humility. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, and once you humble yourself, then you can start praying. Now I want you to understand, when you pray, Brother Freeman, there is, I know that was a bad motorcycle going down there. I thought that was somebody's phone for a second, but I said, ain't nobody's phone that loud. Alright, come on back here. But I want you to understand that when we pray, as I was about to say, Brother Freeman, there's no specific verbiage we have to have when we pray. Well, because of the fact that, you know, since I am so well educated, I understand there's a certain way we must pray. There's a certain language I must use. I recognize that I serve a mighty good God, Jehovah Jireh. I want you to know, I want the Shekinah glory, Lord. I just praise your holy name, because God, you are omnipotent. And Lord, you are everything that I need. And Lord, I tell you, I have to come and speak in a certain way. Isn't it amazing when some folks start to pray, their voices change? You know, I talk like this, but Lord, when I pray, I got to pray like this. Yeah. Brothers, you ain't trying to croon no girl or no sister, because you know you talk like this with the fellas, but when you see her, you say, hey, baby, how you do? It don't work like that. When you talk to God, God is looking at who you is. He ain't looking at all this stuff on the exterior. He don't care how broad your shoulders. Oh, he got broad shoulders, girl. We ain't going to wound God with the cologne we wear. Sister girl, I don't care how much you pay for that spin you got going on up in there. You ain't wooing God with the hair or the makeup. Or how much you pay for the manicure. Or how you bat your lashes and sometimes they get stuck to you. No, let's go on. I want you to understand, when God looks at us, when we pray to God, it's not about what you see on the outside. It ain't what's on the outside. God is looking past all that stuff. He's looking at us on the
inside.
So you ain't got to change your voice when you pray. You just go on and have a conversation with God. And you share with the Lord what's going on in you. So I just wanted to free somebody today. Just because some folk can use a whole lot of words when they pray. Even if you just came and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. Lord, I'm struggling with this. And I know I can't fix it by myself. Lord, help. In Jesus' name. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, I mean, when you talk about praying, it's all about you and God conversing. You're just talking with the Lord. And if you can't be real with the Lord, I understand you got to be fake with some folk. Still trying to figure out why, but if you got to think you got to be fake with folk, you don't dare try to be fake with God. Because if you're being fake with God, then God's looking at you and saying, that I ain't hearing that. Because if you're being fake with me, that means you ain't humble yourself. You see, if you're being fake with me, that means you ain't humble yourself. You see, you got to humble yourself, then you can pray. And then as you pray, then the next thing he says is this: seek my face. When we say seek my face, we know we're not going to look God eye to eye on this side. But when it says seek my face, in essence, seek to be in my presence. When you humble yourself and you pray, then you say, Lord, I need you. And just those simple words, before you know it, Sister White, the Lord has just came and he just sat right next to you. Wrapped his arms around you. Because he's already given you the Spirit on the inside. And what the Holy Spirit on the inside of you says, he's right here. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when we take the time to humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face. What we get from there. Something happens. Can I tell you what really happens? You see, when we get into the presence of God and we humble ourselves and we pray and we seek his face, then what God shows us, because his presence is there, we're able to see where we done messed up. Digging Booth, we realize that, you know what? I done created a mess.
Amen.
This is some stuff I got to do something about. And what I'm going to do about it, I'm going to turn from it.
Okay.
I'm going to turn from my wicked ways. Because, Lord, I won't see my wicked ways until I first humble myself. And then as I'm humbling myself, then as I'm praying, and then as I'm praying, then as I'm seeking God's face, his presence comes. And as his presence comes, it just gets right next to me. And then I realize that where I am. And I say, you know what? I ain't right.
There you go.
And you know, that's what got all of us in church. That's what moved all of us to accept Christ.
That's right.
You know why we did that? Because we realized we wasn't right. But I'm still trying to understand, Brother Joe. We came because we said and knew that we weren't right. But now that we are here and we are in the righteousness of God, that still doesn't allow us to look and think that we're all out of bag of chips, two shakes, and a soda on the side. We still got some work to do in our lives as long, and also help somebody else. We come to realize that the Lord has made a difference in us, still making a difference in us. And as he's doing all this stuff inside of us, I want you to understand it is just so awesome that I just can't keep doing what I used to do. Because of the Lord healing us, because we have humbled, pray, seek his face. Then we're able to turn from our
wicked ways.
See, that's hard for us to understand that wicked ways. Because I'm all that. You see, Brother Dennis, we got to understand you ain't all that. And the only reason you are what you are is because the Lord has anointed you. Because the Lord has appointed you. Because the Lord has filled you with his spirit. But if you get caught up in all that the Lord is doing for you and then forget about where your blessings have come from and start trying to toot your own horn, then I want you to understand wickedness start to kick in. But when you stay close to God, it creates a situation where you understand that it ain't about me, it's all about him. So he says that when you humble yourself, pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. Humble, pray, seek, turn. Humble, pray, seek, turn. And then the Bible specifically says, then. You see that? Before he goes any further, he says, then. Then God's going to do something when we humble, pray, seek, turn. Humble, pray, seek. Turn. Lord, we're just going to make a song out of that one. Humble, pray, seek, and turn. Are you working with me? I want us to see this, y'all, because these are the things we got to do. If we don't humble, but we pray, but we seek, and we don't turn, God ain't going to reward us for getting us 2 out of 4. If we don't humble, but we pray, but we seek, and we say we're going to turn, it still don't work, because God don't bless us because we done did 3 out of... God is saying either you're all in or you ain't. You know, we cannot hoodwink God. You can hoodwink me. I can hoodwink you. But ain't none of us, Mother Austin, gonna pull a fast one over on. Do we see it right here? Because he says, once we do all that, it tells us, then I will hear. Do you hear this? When you get 4 out of 4, humble, pray, seek, turn. When you get 4 out of 4, then I will hear from heaven. Right? And once he hears from heaven and will forgive their sins. Wait a minute. Hold on. You mean to tell me, Leslie, that when we look at this here, you mean to tell me he got to forgive us of our sins?
Thank you, Lord.
And then he'll heal the lame. What it's telling us is that the drought, the destruction of the crops, the epidemic, were all a result of sin. And since they were the result of what we had done, God is saying, if we humble, pray, seek, and turn, then he gonna hear. Then he will forgive us of our sin. And then he will heal the lame. Now, can I break down to you what is happening here in verse 13? What happened in verse 13 is that sin does something. When we sin, we begin to open up the door of chaos. And when we want to stay in our sin, what we're saying to the chaos, come on in. Have fun. And in so many ways, that's where our country is right now. We didn't open up the door to chaos. We didn't open up the door to a whole bunch of rhetoric that isn't about a hill of beans. And it has created division in this country. And since there's division in this country, look at what happened. On Saturday, you had women all over the world joined with men who were coming for the Women's March and letting the current administration know what you said about locker room talk is more than some locker room talk. You have, in so many ways, have injured us, and you have not asked for any kind of forgiveness. You are looking at us like we just don't matter. They're looking at them, Nicole, like y'all are just a piece of meat. And I know your father ain't going to let no boy look at you like you a piece of meat. I got two daughters, and ain't no boys going to look at them like they're a piece of meat. So we want the world to know, I don't care how this person got up in here, my daughter is not just a piece of. So when we recognize what is happening in our country today, it's time for us to shut the door. We done let some stuff in that we got to get kicked out. And the only way it's going to get kicked out is if we are willing. Amen. Are you willing to pray for those who you don't even like? Are you willing to pray for those that might have hatred in their hearts for you? Jesus said, basically, you can pray for folk who love you, but can you love folk who don't love you? Will you pray for your enemies? Even though you know your enemy wants to try to kill you and destroy you, but not pray for you? Are you willing, my brothers and sisters, to do what God is instructing us to do here in these verses? Because if we aren't willing to do what God is instructing us to do, then all hell gonna break loose here in our country. It is time for the people of God to come together and pray. Whether we want to believe it or not, the brother is the president for the next 4 years unless something happens. So we just got to get over that. Somebody ought to say amen. I know you ain't happy about it. I ain't either, but it's the reality. It is what it is. So we got to get over it and move forward. We will not let what has happened stop us from being a blessing to somebody else. Stop us from being a difference maker. Are you willing? And if you're willing to pray on that level, then we also can pray on the level for one another. Because you know why it's important? See, people love to quote verse 7:14. That's to be 7:14, 2 Corinthians 7:14. But I want you to see what God says in verses 15 and 16. This is significant. He says in 15 and 16, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated the house, this house, so that my name may be there for a little while. Every now and then. Most of the time. Forever, he says, right? My eyes, check this out, and my heart will be there for all time. So I want you to understand something. We ain't getting over on God if we come in here faking it. We ain't getting over on God if we ain't truly humble ourselves as we come to pray. Because if we don't humble, pray, seek, and turn, then guess what? God said, I ain't hearing a word you got to say. It's just like our children. When you saw, now you done looked out the window and saw the mess they just did. And then they come in the house. And you ask them, what happened outside? And the famous last words, what had happened was. The bird came down, scared the dog. Dog knocked it over and it ran over there and this and that and so on and so forth. And guess what? You ain't hearing a word they're saying. You know why? Because they ain't willing to own up to it.
That's right.
So why do you think God going to hear you if you're going to stand up there and tell him some lies? Or don't humble yourself and say, Lord, I messed up. It's all my fault on this one, God. You see, and what we do is when we put ourselves in that position, we allow the Lord to now say, oh, I'm listening. What else you got to tell? And then that's how we get God's undivided attention. Why? Because God is always watching. God is always listening. And God has his heart right there. Do you understand that God's pulse is in this place? He says his heart is in this place. His heart is in this place. So if his heart is in this place, if we get our beat in rhythm with God's beat, what'll happen in this place? If we get our heart in rhythm with God's heart in this place, what'll happen? If we get our heart in rhythm with God's heart, I want you to understand great things will happen in this place. You see, because God's heart is in this place. What does that mean? God loves this place. Why? Because this is the place where his people worship him. This is the place where his people love him. And when we continue to come to this place, I don't care if you got a hoodwink folk out of there, you got to learn how to be honest up in here. Because when you are honest up in here, then we can see how the Lord going to bless us with all the things that he's calling us to do. You see, my brothers and my sisters, but it all starts with this one question. Are you willing? Because if you ain't willing, you know what it's like? Can I just give you a quick funny story? You know what it's like? It's like a brother that came home with a brand new car. And his wife said to him, where this car come from? I don't know, sir. It just ended up in our driveway. Well, where your old car at? I don't know. I went by the car dealership. Next thing I know, they took that car and gave me this one, baby. And you know what she gonna say? No, she ain't gonna say goodbye. Somebody pray for Chester. You know what she gonna say? Give me them keys. And you know what you gonna say? I ain't got no keys. But you follow what I'm saying? I just had to break it up for a second. But you follow what I'm saying? The evidence is in how we present ourselves to God. If you complain, you leave complaining. If you complain, you leave complaining. Because you didn't humble, you didn't pray, you didn't seek, and you didn't turn. You see, and since you didn't do those things, the results you were anticipating and wanted never occurred. You see, my brothers and sisters, all God wants is some folk who are willing, who have no shame in their game. Yeah. I recognize I come to church and I want to look my best. Even if I'm wearing an Atlanta Falcons jersey on, I can still look my best. Even if I have on a three-piece suit, that don't necessarily mean I look my best. Because the suit might have looked like you slept in it last night. Are you following me? You see, what God wants is the best from us. And the best from us is not on the outside of us. The best of us is what's inside of us. It's what makes us tick. It's what causes us to say, I know I serve a God who's a healer and a deliverer. He is my way maker. He's been there with me through thick and through thin. He's brought me through this and he brought me through that. It's all because I've walked by faith and not by sight. My hair might not always be combed right. Shoes might not always be real shiny. Shirt might have a wrinkle on it. Might have forgotten to get that little sleep out of the corner of my eye. Meant to brush my teeth, but I was running a little late. Somebody just said, no, don't dog, Pastor, you know, went too far now. I'm just trying to mess with you, but you're understanding what I'm saying. It's all about what God does inside of us that makes us tick. And since we know what makes us tick, I'm going to give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. I am willing to do what God instructs me to do. Because when I do what God instructs me to do, Brother Phil, I know God's going to bless me. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. He's going to be there with me through thick and through thin. For every step I take, God's going to take a step with me. Do I got a witness in God's house? Any folk willing to praise him? Any folk willing to give him the glory, the honor, and the praise? Has God been good to us? Has he brought us through this? Has he brought us through that? Somebody ought to thank him. Somebody ought to praise him. He is a mighty good God. Oh, somebody ought to say hallelujah. It's all because we are willing. It's when we're not willing that we don't see no difference happen. And if there's no difference in us, then we can't be difference makers. God wants us to be a difference maker. And it all starts with us, our ability to humble ourselves.